Morning, Solomon's Porch. I'm Karen from Race Course House Church. Today we will continue our Lent and we will read it from Mark 15, 1 to 20. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom he asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But he shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And a soldier led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him out of the purple cloth and put his own clothes on him, and he led them out to crucify him. Before Jesus and Pilate meet, Jesus suffered a series of unfortunate events. Jesus was betrayed by Judas, arrested, accused by religious leaders, and denied by Peter. When Jesus and Pilate meet in this passage, Jesus suffers three more events. Jesus was questioned by Pilate, and there were a lot of false witnesses against him. Jesus was handed over to be crucified, and he was mocked by the soldiers. If you notice the passive voice in the previous sentences, you understand that Jesus is experiencing the actions. He is not the person performing the actions. In other words, in the previous events, Jesus did not defend himself at all. I can't help but wonder, why did Jesus not defend himself? How can he endure all this humiliation and hardship? I believe Jesus realized his true identity and purpose. This is because he is truly man. He is also fully God. He has not committed any sins and he is closely connected to the Father. He was strengthened by the Father and the angel during the prayer at Gethsemane. The scripture clearly stated that Jesus wanted to let the suffering cup to be taken away from him. Nonetheless, he submitted to God's plan for him and for the human race. He realized that the real reason of his crucifixion was not because of his sin, but our guilt. He goes as the sinless one to be convicted and sentenced to death for our sin. Because of the persistence of the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas, a true criminal, and handed over Jesus for crucifixion. This is exactly what Jesus did for us. He was blameless, and we were sinful. But he was willing to die for us on the cross so that we could be with him forever. We are off the hook. What can we learn from Jesus in this passage? What I have learned, there's one word, is called perseverance. Jesus Christ himself exemplified the ultimate model of perseverance. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus faced opposition, temptation, and suffering. Yet he remained obedient to the will of the Father. As the author of Hebrews encouraged believers to look to Jesus as the perfect example of perseverance. From Hebrews 12:2-3, it says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scourging his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinner, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." How can we be as submissive to Jesus, to Father God? First, be vulnerable and honest to God. Like Jesus who prayed at Gethsemane, it was a very lonely prayer. He pleaded God like a child, and it was a persevering prayer. He prayed 3 times, using the same words. As Pastor Brian also mentioned during the retreat, Jesus had to come face to face with God, with his true feelings and struggles, to gain strength. Similar to us, in order to finish the race well, we need to process our day-to-day matters to God, big or small. Through that, intimacy with God builds up, and by God's grace, we can understand his heart and his characters more. Second is knowing God's attributes. A full trust in God can lead to a place of surrender. For Jesus to endure such opposition from sinners and all false accusation and to come to a place of surrender is a great testimony for us to know what it's like when we truly know the Father. He decided to leave the result of his prayers in God's hand, who knows when to give and how to give and what to give and what to withhold. So plead earnestly and yet mingling with humility and resignation, and we will prevail. I'm deeply touched by Jesus' full submission and trust to the Father. We can know more about God's attributes through reading his words and prayers with the help of the Holy Spirit. The third one is, we need one another. Even though Jesus is fully God and he's perfect, before the work of the cross, what he did is to gather his closest friends for support. He brought Peter, James, and John. These were the ones who had also witnessed his glory in his transfiguration. Sharing our struggle and challenges in life with friends that can hold us accountable. Everyone needs friends who are not only encouraging us, but also brave enough to speak the truth to us. Most importantly, when we feel powerless and weak, they can be the ones that can bring our needs to God. And ultimately, we can all witness God's glory. The metaphor of running a race is often used in the Bible to describe the Christian life. This imagery encourages believers to persevere, remain focused on their spiritual journey, and finish strong in faith. Running the race requires disciplined endurance and reliance on God's strength. I did not enjoy long run because it's not easy and it's very boring. However, last year I joined a running club as I was looking for some exercise that are easily accessible and is free. I've learned a lot from other experienced runners who always encourage me that when things get tough, just focus on the track and do not stop. After a few months of running, I decided to sign up for the Standard Chartered Marathon. I had around 4 months till the race day, and at that point I hadn't run more than 10K. The following months of training was not easy, but enjoyable. I follow a training schedule which required discipline to not only running, but also do other exercise and to rest. The training program equipped me to get ready for the race. As a beginner in running, I also had to run for more than 3 hours at times. There were multiple times that I wanted to give up, but with a clear goal, which was to be able to finish my race, I did not want to stop. And every time when I finished the day of training, I felt very satisfied and grateful for the time I spent on running. Ultimately, praise God, I finished my race well. I could not do this without His help, His word of encouragement when I doubted myself, His prompting to other brothers and sisters who prayed over me, and most importantly, is His presence and His grace to sustain my body on that day. Our faith walk is like running a race. We all have our own pacing and struggles. There are explorations, excitements, satisfaction, and joy. And we can also experience confusion, sufferings, grief, and loneliness. Last, don't be afraid, but be honest to tell God everything. Pour our heart out to Him for sadness and celebrations, knowing that He cares for us and He understands. Because of the work of the cross, Jesus' walk was displayed for us so that we would not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let His perseverance inspire and strengthen us to keep running. So I would like to invite Nikki to lead us in worship. And so the reflection is there anything in life that requires our perseverance? For example, praying for our family salvation or dealing with difficult people. If yes, can we boldly come to Christ and ask for His help? And if we cannot, what is hindering us? Let us close with prayer. Father in heaven, we feel as if we are treading on holy ground as we meditate on what Jesus went through for sinners like us. We can only thank You in amazement and praise that King of Glory was willing to suffer in place of rebels like us. Fill our hearts afresh and deep with deep gratitude and overflowing praise. Humble our pride, increase our views of Christ's work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted, You were condemned. I'm alive and well, Your Spirit is within me. Because You died and rose again, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted, You were condemned. I'm alive and well, Your Spirit is within me. Because You died and rose again, amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor because You were forsaken. I'm accepted, You were condemned. I'm alive and well, Your Spirit is within me. Because You died and rose again, amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me? amazing love. I know it's true. It is my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You
circle and pray.